Yeah, good morning once again. My name is Dayo. I will be, for the next few minutes we've got, I will be bringing God's word to you today. Isn't it amazing this morning that Daniela was lovely parents of Indian heritage is being dedicated by an Englishman, and a Nigerian is bringing God's word in the same service. Isn't it amazing? I mean, that's family, isn't it? That is who we are. That is just, I mean, this was not written. You know, everything just happened, you know. And just to put a context to the story again, a few weeks ago, I was about texting Duncan because I knew I was, you know, preaching this morning. And I was just praying and said, God, I just need a word for God's people this morning. And as I was praying, I saw a baby in the service. And as I was about texting Duncan, that, Duncan, look, I just saw this picture of a baby in the service. I don't know what it means. And Duncan texted, we have this eldership group, and literally just texted that Daniela is coming to church this morning, that we're okay with it. And I was like, what a confirmation of what God has intended for today's service, that a baby will come to church and will be dedicated to God. I mean, that's so amazing what God does. And the fact that God knows that each and single one of you will be coming today to be a part of this celebration. And this service is so important because we're not just dedicating a baby. We are actually saying that, God, this is a child that we trust in the years to come will serve you. Okay, because like Chris, brother, what about seed? This is a seed that we trust will grow into something big. And for those who have got families, you know, I've got two, you know, and you desire in your heart that they will grow to become, you know, greater than you. You desire that they will serve the Lord. You desire that they will know God and they will be able to make decisions for themselves. And even that's the more reason today, at the end of the service, we are going to be praying for our children as well. Because we want to just commit them to God's hand and say, God, would you look over them? Would you watch over them? You know, and sometimes I'm a bit partisan because I'm a teacher. And I am more passionate to see kids just grow up and serve the Lord. Because they are now reducing in numbers. You know, I met somebody a few years ago. No, not a few years ago, actually. A few weeks ago, we went to Winchester and it was break. It was our lunch time. And I just went to the town center and I met this woman. She sat there about 75, 78 years old. And I was just minding my business. I just sat down. In fact, actually, I know Jason was about to say, because Jason saw me with a bunch of KFC. And I felt so guilty of myself that I just put it on the side. And I was like, what will I do now? I was about to eat it. And this lady was there. And I just said, okay, let me just engage this lady. And as I was talking to her, she began to lament. It became a lamentation from her. And she said, you know what? You know, I've been going to church all my life, but I'm worried for my church. Because the youngest in my church is about 55. And I'm worried that in the next few years, a time will come that we'll have no one in the church and the church will close down. And she didn't realize that she was talking to a Christian. And when I told her I'm a Christian, she said, how are you? I thought she was surprised that a young man like me will actually be a Christian going to church. I mean, that tells us, you know, the challenge we are in our society. You know, our society is becoming, you know, our kids especially, you know, they are in a situation where, you know, they have a lot of options. You know, and I just want to start with what John said in 3 John 4. You know, it's not on the screen, but I just want to read that very quickly. You know, John says something very profound, and I just want to bring this word to you guys this morning. You know, if you go to 3 John 4, you know, John is a very short letter. And John said to his friend, he says, I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my children are walking in truth. For our life, for us as a church, we have no greater joy to see those kids go out there. And we know when they go to that school on a Monday, on a Tuesday, on a Saturday, we know that they are walking in the truth. Because there are a lot of options around them today. And if we have, as parents, we do not spend time helping them to know what it takes to walk in the truth, then it becomes a problem to us. No wonder Proverbs 22 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Everything starts from now. When that baby is born, our life has started, our journey has started. Mine are almost, 7 and 10. Their life has been formed now. You know, Lois has got some ideas. She, she's a very amazing girl. She's asking a lot of questions. You know, she's been curious about our society. And I'm saying, God, help us. And you know what? Anytime you buy a product, what do you get? A manual. But when you have a baby, you don't get a manual, do you? You just have a baby, and all of a sudden, you're like, what do I do with this life in front of me? Where do I start? And then there's a responsibility on our shoulder as a church as well. Because today we're talking about God's family. There's a responsibility on our shoulder that when we see this kid, we are saying, God, would your hand rest on them? Would you look after them? Because they are in the midst of a crooked generation. That's what the Bible says. You know, they are being challenged every day. You know, truth is no longer absolute. Truth is not relative. You know, and he said, well, no, but Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So truth is truth. It's absolute. It's not relative. But there's so much relative truth out there. Now, if you don't take the time, and that's why as a church, we want to share the absolute truth that Jesus is the way, is the truth, and is the life. And if you're in this morning, you don't know the truth, may I urge you to consider knowing the truth this morning. Oh, how amazing will it be that you came for Daniela's dedication, because she is now part of God's family, and you can also be a part of that family that she has come to know today. Because that is my sister there. Because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, that is who we are as a church. The church is meant to be, a place where everyone comes. It doesn't matter who you are. You know, you can come from every walks of life, rich, poor, old, young, whatever you are, you can always come to God's presence, and he will take you for who you are. For the remaining time we have, and our time is fast spent, I just want to just touch one or two things, because we're going to be a God's family, okay? And the emphasis is that we are. So if I use the word, we are family, that is okay. That is right, isn't it? So we are family, that is okay. But I love that word in the middle. We are God's family. That means we belong to the family of God. Everyone in this place has a name. My name is Dayo, and my last name is Adeyemo. You know, some of you may find it hard to call. I'm quite used to that. If I've been saying, let me not go into names today. If you want to know about my story, about name, just come and see me afterward. Now, my daughter, my son, bears my name. And I am bearing the name of my father. Okay, so everyone has a name in this place, and you have a last name as well. And when we talk about God's family, we are saying that we are the family of God. That means that we identify with somebody, because the person who bears their name is the person you identify as. Okay, so if I'm just somewhere and they say, Dayo, I would just raise my hands. Okay, who's calling me? Because that is my identity. Okay, but I said, Joystein is the only person in this place who bears that name. So Joystein will know I'm the one calling. And he will just write and say, okay, why did you call me? Because that is his identity. So when we talk about God's family, we are talking about the family of God, an identity, and that is who we are as a people. So family is so important. Family is the most important institution in the world. Okay, God created family. When he started, he had Adam and Eve. He said, be fruitful and multiply. So God has always been in the business of family. And there are three or four things I want to quickly touch on this morning, as time will help us. Okay, so what does it mean to be in God's family? What does it mean when we say we are the family of God? What does it mean to be in God's family? You know, in John 1:12, he said, for as many as received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name, that were not born, not of natural descent, of the will of the flesh, of the will of man, but of God. So when we talk about God's family, we talk about the people that have come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So we call ourselves God's family because we identify with God. And we know that God sent Jesus into the world to die for our sins. So when we come to church on a Sunday morning, we are saying, look, I identify, I recognize that this family came as a result of God sending a son into the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. So God sent his son into the world to die for my sin. And once I believe in him, he gave me the power to become the sons of God. So we become who we are not because of what Jesus has done for us. So to be in God's family is to come to accept Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. And like I said, if you don't know Jesus this morning, oh, this is such an amazing opportunity to know him. And welcome our friends who have joined us for the very first time today. Would you consider, you know, being part of God's family? It's the most amazing thing that can ever happen to us. But how do we know that we are part of the family? How do we know that we are part of God's family? In Galatians 3:28, it said that there is no Jew, there's no Greek, there's no slave, there's no free. There's no male, there's no female, since you are all one in Christ Jesus. So we are all one in Christ Jesus. So we know we are part of God's family because all, you are all welcome. We don't ask you questions when you come in. Where do you live? What job do you do? You know, what car do you drive? You know, what is your income? You know, now, when you come, regardless of who you are welcome. You are welcome. You are always part of that family. And it's so amazing to know that God is not a respecter of persons. You know, there's a man in the Bible called Cornelius. He was a devout man. And a time came, Peter went to his house. And Peter said, I know that God is not a respecter of persons. But every nation, anyone that calls upon him is accepted of him. So regardless of who you are, I came from Nigeria, I have people from different places here. We all come together and we call ourselves God's family. God's family. But what attribute should we show? How do we know? If somebody comes into this place, how would they know that this is God's family? How? How would they know that this is God's family? John 13:35 says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So when we talk about characteristic or attribute, we are saying that love is the foundation of God's family. Because that was what Jesus did, isn't it? He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus so loved the world. What did he do? He gave his life. So, the basis of Christianity, of God's family, is love. So when people come to this place, they see people from different countries, different tongues, different tribes, and they love each other. This is just crazy. This is mind-blowing. I just don't understand. You know, something happened to me yesterday. He said, sometimes God takes it, like the last few days, I was like, God, I want to bring a word to God's people this morning. What do I do? And sometimes God takes us on a journey. And I had a friend who came on to visit over the weekend. And yesterday we just had some time. We walked together. And he had a plan to do about 30,000 steps yesterday. So I was the guinea pig he was using. So I was just walking everywhere because he had to make up this number of steps. So I said, Dio, we've got to just keep walking. So I was like, okay, no problem. I think we managed to do about 22,000. But in the course of our walking yesterday, as we were just walking, it was about 5, 6 p.m. in the evening yesterday. And all of a sudden, we saw a man by the side. He had slumped, and he was on the floor. And I just saw the man. I was like, what's going on here? And we stopped, and we tried to call the ambulance for this. I think it was about in the 60s. And what struck me was I had a lot of white folks just walk past me. And nobody stopped. And here we were, two black men with a white, about 60-year-old man on the floor. And we're the two people that stopped and tried to help the man until the man could recover. And God was saying to me yesterday, that is who you are. That is family. It's not about color. It's not about who you are. It's just about the fact that you recognize that this person needs help. And you're willing to stay to make sure that that person gets the help in it. And what am I saying this morning? That when you leave this place, it's not just about coming to church and saying you're a family. It's about going there and showing people that if we say we are rooted in love, I'm going to go there and I'm going to show love to people, regardless of who they are, regardless of what they have. I am going to show love to people. I am going to do all I can. So my family is not just about people here. It's about the people out there, because I want to bring those people out there into God's family. Greater love has no man. And so when I go out there, I want to show love to people. And so the attribute of God's family is that Jesus has died for us. But at the same time, we go out there to show what God has done in our lives. That is who we are as a family. This is how we have come to know love. He laid down his life for us, 1 John 3:16, so that we can lay down our lives for others. That is who we are as a family. Our family's name, like I said, is our identity. Our family's name is who we are and is what we have come to be. And I just want to end this with a couple of words. So in Ephesians chapter 3, which is actually the main text that I just want to just dwell on now, and then we just end our service. Paul had been, he's been to Ephesus and he's been preaching there. And it got to a point in Paul's life where he longed for something. And if you have a Bible, we turn to Ephesians 3. I think that should be on the board now. So if we go back, yeah, that one. Ephesians 3 from 14 to 19. He said, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. I pray that he may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power in your inner being through His Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your heart by true faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length, what's the width, the height, and the depth of God's love. And to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Isn't this amazing? That is Paul's desire. That you will be rooted and grounded in love. And to know the love of God that surpasses all knowledge. Do you know God's love this morning? If you look at your family, would you say that your family is rooted and grounded in love? You know, sometimes when people talk about family, what it brings out is being hatred. It brings like this anger. I met a young lady a few days ago, and I said, "Oh, Christmas is amazing." And she said, "I hate Christmas." I'm like, "Hey, calm down, calm down. That is so strong." And I asked her, "Why?" He said, "Because it brings terrible memories when I spend time with my family." And I'm like, "Oh God, would you help this young girl to know that this is not what family is all about?" I mean, if you look at your family today, what would you say? You know, "I love Mama. You know, Mama is here, and it's amazing. You know why I'm so happy this morning? Because God is a generational God. The Bible says the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you have Mama here who identifies as being a Christian. And then you have Tristan and Vilna. And then you have Danielle as well. You have three generations who say they love the Lord. If you look at your family today, what is the state of your family? Would you say that this is a family rooted in God? If it's not, you can start. I'm grateful my parents are Christians. And I'm a Christian as well. And I desire and long that my children will be Christians as well. You know. And if your family is not showing that, you can start to say, "God, I want my family to have a heritage in you, oh God." And if we look at 1 Timothy, you know, no, I think it's 2 Timothy, where Paul talks about Timothy. You know, he said, "I recall the faith in your grandmother, which is in your mother, and now is in you." If your family is not like that, it doesn't matter. I can start today. I can start with you. You can say, "God, from now on, oh God, I want my family to have the faith that I have. I want my family to be rooted in your love." Because when we come here as one, we go out there, we are the frontiers. We call ourselves new frontiers. We are the frontiers of God's family. We are extensions of God's family. So we live here with love. We go back and show love. We live here knowing that Jesus died for our sins, and we'll go on our knees for our children. So God, this kid must serve you. I don't care how it's going to happen. They must serve you. It is not an option. You know, yeah, I want my child, I'm a science teacher, and so sometimes I'm so biased. You know, sometimes I want to teach Lois like so much science. I just pump so much science into her. I want her to be the best in science, that wherever she goes, they know that she's got a science teacher as a father. But much more, much more. I don't want that to just be a science geek. I want that to be a lover of Jesus. That is far more important than the best science in the whole wide world. That is far more important than the best salary she can ever earn. Even David as well. You know, I want them to know that they have a family. And that family is God's family. I want them to know that they are rooted and grounded in love, so that when they go out there, they can live for Jesus. So that when you guys go out there, you can live for Jesus as well. That is who we are as a family. I think we're going to end and say we're going to pray for the kids now, so if you can ask them to come back. And we are going to just spend time just praying for our children this morning as well. Because oftentimes, you know, when things happen like this, they're so silent. But actually, what is going on in this place is a seed, like Chris said, that years to come will speak for us. You know, years to come, we'll look back and say, hey, that's that prayer we prayed, you know, those decisions that you're making today, you know, it's going to shape lives. It's going to shape lives forever. You know, it's going to make things better for our community. You know, it's so important. So I don't want to end with this. So key point, we are God's family. Are you part of the family? Are you extending God's love to others? Is your family name? That was what Paul said. He said, in whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. Is your family name? Have you come to know the Lord this morning? Please do not leave this place. Just ask questions. You know, what does it mean to be named in God's family? You know, and how can I extend God's love to others? And whoever has hurt you as well in your family, would you let go this morning as well? Because God spoke to me about that, and there are a few people in this place who have been hurt by family. Would you let go this morning? Would you say, God, help me, I let go of whoever has hurt me? Whoever has made me, you know, hurtful, would you just help me this morning to be a better person? To let go and let God, so that no root of bitterness is in our heart, and we can go on to become great ambassadors for God. Okay, so I think we're going to pray for the other four. So shall we just bow our heads, you know, just in the moment in prayer this morning? I just want you to just reflect on what you've heard this morning. Are you part of God's family? Are you rooted? Are you grounded in love? Do you know, is your family named in heaven? Are you named? You say, in whom the family in heaven and on earth is named. Is your family named? And I want you to just ask the Lord this morning, would you help me, Lord Jesus, to for my life, for my family to be a reflection of your family? That when people come to our church, when they go to our homes, that they will see the love of God. They will see the love of God in those places. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, would you help us this morning, Lord? Our lives, our family will reflect your love, oh God. And by chance, somebody has been hurt this morning. Would you say, God, I just let go. I just let you take over. Lord, help me to be grounded in love, to be rooted in love, oh God. To know the love of God that surpasses all knowledge. As a love that transcends all knowledge. Help me, Jesus, this morning. To know your love that transcends knowledge. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Amen. So, I just want us to just pray for our kids. So, this is how we're going to do it. I'm quite sure that the kids are with their parents. So, I'm just going to read a couple of verses from the Bible. And then we're going to pray this over our children. Okay? So, 1 Timothy 4:12. Yes, David. Absolutely. Sorry, 2 Timothy 4. Mind the right. Yeah, sorry, 1 Timothy 4:12. Yeah. He said, don't let anyone despise your youth, but be an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. We want to pray this morning that our kids will be examples. That when they go out, that they'll be examples in the way they speak. And our kids will not just speak like any other person. That when they speak, they say, hang on a minute, where are you from? Who is your mother? Who is your father? They speak well. You know, there'll be examples, you know, in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And our children will live a life worthy of God's calling. And the other place I read in 3 John 4, that I have no greater joy to see my children walk in the truth. So we just bow our heads. And if you want to hold your kid's hand, please do. I just want us to pray, and by way of extension as well, if you have families, nephews and nieces, cousins that are not here, why don't you just pray for them as well? You know, and I'll just lead us in this prayer, and I'm quite happy for one or two people to also just, you know, pray out, you know, for our kids this morning, and by way of extension, God's family, that they will be examples, you know. So, Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. Lord, we've dedicated Daniela this morning, and we dedicate our whole children to you, oh God, this morning. And we are asking, oh God, and may they be examples, oh God, in the way they talk, in conduct. May they be examples in purity. May they be examples in love, oh God. That when people come near our children, they will see examples of your love in their lives, oh God. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you will keep them, Lord, from all the things going on around the world, oh God, today. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you will help them, Lord, to walk in your truth, oh God. That they will know the Father. That they will have a relationship with you, oh God. They will know the God of their Father. They are part of God's family. Lord, as they grow, may they remember that. And I pray for the parents as well, that Lord, you will help them, Lord, to bring up these children the way that they should go. So that when they are old, they will not depart from it. So I'll just leave one or two people to just you know, pray out, and then I'll just close in prayer, and then I'm sure we've got time for a song, but let's see.
Father God, we thank you in Jesus for the gift of children. They are the next generation. And I pray, Father God, that you sow a seed into their hearts and minds as we pray this morning. I pray, Holy Spirit, rest upon their hearts and minds. Would you reveal your heart and mind to their heart and mind? May they know love, purity, and blessing that only comes from you. So we lift all our children, Lord Jesus, and ask for your guidance and help. Amen.
Lord, Father, thank you for the privilege that it is to be part of your family. Thank you for bringing us all together and for enabling us to love one another. And Father, Lord, for those that find it harder to love each other due to their own past, their own previous experiences with family, I just pray that's made it easy, Father Lord, and that they can see what the impression of your family is, Father Lord. Thank you.
Yeah, may you bless all our children. May you bless the adult as well. And for us to know that we are all part of God's family. And let your blessing rest upon us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.